Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a deceased friend visits another friend in a dream to deliver a message of hope.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. We'd love to hear from you. And if you want all of our extras, the way that we support this program is with a program we call EPPs, Extra Podcast People. Our EPP supporters get bonus episodes of the show, brand new ones every week exclusively for them. Advanced episodes of the show, all commercial free, including our whole archive, 8 years worth of audio. Literally, it is the largest audio archive of ghost stories ever on the planet in history. It is the biggest one ever created. You get access to that. And of course, all the other extras are ebook or audiobook. It's all there. How do you get it, Pat? Well, you go to ghostpodcast.com and you can sign up there. Or if you like Patreon, through Patreon. Same stuff, another place. Patreon.com/realghoststories to get hooked up with all of the extras and help keep this program on the air. Only $5 a month. Or sign up for an annual membership and you get 1 month free. It's Tony and Carol on today's episode, Oh, the Program. And what's going on in your world?
Well, I just thought about this. Is this airing about Valentine's Day?
After February 24th is where we're at.
Oh, crap. I was going to say, what a great Valentine's Day present.
Yeah. And if you're thinking
for next year
or for this year, if you didn't get one, you're sitting there going, damn it, they forgot me. You didn't have to forget yourself. You can give yourself the gift of ghosts. But yeah,
exactly. I think it's a wonderful idea. That's the gift that keeps on giving. And haunting.
Exactly.
It's a haunting gift.
It's a gift that keeps on giving there, Clark. Jelly of the Month Club. I sign up. Enjoy that. I am getting rid of my haunted light, as I call it, I guess. I guess it's the first time I've called it the haunted light. I am doing some redesigning parts of the house, my bedroom being the first spot. And the light that I've talked about on the air here a few times, it seems to have a mind of its own and turn on by itself, and the fan that
right.
moves and all that.
Right.
I found a new one, and it will. I'm going to be installing it probably over the weekend. Every time I walk in that room, I have painters in there right now, and so I've been sleeping in the guest bedroom the last two nights because of all the painting stuff that's going on. But every time I walk in that room, the damn light is on or the fan is going and I haven't turned it on, and it's after the painters have already left. I know the light's not on, and I go in there and it's like candle bulb type thing. So it's kind of flickering and creepy. And I'm like, okay, we're going to change that as part of the room too. So it's probably bad wiring, in all reality, but I'm just going to change it.
You know, here's the thing, and I think it's because we do this podcast and you do it all the time. I mean, it's kind of your life.
Yeah.
But I do tend to default to it's a ghost when it could just be wiring. Because, mm-hmm. of course, in my brain, it's not wiring. It's a ghost. That seems to be, it makes more sense to me for some reason. So, yeah, absolutely. That would go.
Yeah. It's
Even if somebody proved to me that it was the electrical wiring, I would still say it's gone.
And, you know, I may take it down and go, here's the obvious problem. This wire shouldn't have been attached there or something like that. That's probably what I'll end up
still
finding.
Still
got to go. Now I'm going to put it up on Craigslist or Marketplace or whatever and mark it as a haunted chandelier or a haunted fan and see if somebody wants to partake in having that in their house.
Someone will.
Surrounded by great energy, this fan presided over... Yeah, it's yeah, good times. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first story of the day. It says, hey, y'all, I'm a new listener, and I am hooked. I'm 33 years old and a believer. I've been on the fence about sharing my stories. Hearing all these stories has given me the push I needed, and I believe the more true stories that are out there, the better. There's a lot of experiences I've had in my life. After I graduated high school, one of my best friends died in a car wreck. The driver had a seizure attack while my friend was asleep in the front seat. They drove into a canal, and the car had submerged. When the car was found by the rescue team, they said my friend was on top of the driver and looked like he was trying to unbuckle the seatbelt to save her. But unfortunately, my friend had heart surgery when he was a kid. His heart could not handle what was happening at the moment, and it gave out on him. Fast forward a couple of months, I was at home sleeping and had a dream of all my friends, including him. We obviously knew he was dead, but we were all happy to see him. We were spending time together like we normally did. I remember getting incredibly sad, and he walked up to me and just looked at me and smiled. He told me, it's okay. I'm okay. I will be. He then said, wake up. Right then and there, I instantly woke up, and it was after 3 a.m. I felt as if someone were in the room with me. My body was getting hot because I could feel someone watching me. All of a sudden, this figure was right beside me. I quickly relaxed but was still scared. I said my name and continued to tell me, it's okay, I'm okay. Right then I cried and said his name as the figure just disappeared. The next day I called his mom and our friends and they all said the same thing, that he had visited them too and had the exact same dream. That's one of my many experiences. Ever since I was a kid, I've had these moments where I sense things or see things that the normal eye does not. But I do not want to acknowledge it because I know there's a part of that world that's scary and things I do not want to see, nor has it attached to me. But that's another story for another time. Thank you guys. Love the podcast and hearing all of the stories. Harper is adorable. By the way, she's going to be famous one day in the paranormal world. Until next time, stay frosty, y'all. So there you go. Creepy stuff.
But that was really sweet with... Well, or was it really sweet what she said about Harper?
This will be real famous
really
in the paranormal.
Or was it?
Yeah, it's
no,
sweet.
No, I think it was sweet.
Yeah, it's meant that she's going to be a famous person someday
over,
on the topic.
She's
going to
take over your podcast one day.
She will someday. That is the plan. So this show will not ever end for God knows however long she lives. I plan on going down with the ship until I can't do it anymore. So I'll be wheeled in here at some point. She'll be like, damn it, Dad, just kick it so I can take it over. You will be my co-host. And, she'll be like 70 and finally get the show.
I thought that story was really amazing.
It was.
Like, that's one of the coolest ones ever. Because I love those, visitation sort of stories and those dreams where you feel like you're connected. But the fact that other people had the dream, That's awesome. I don't think I've ever heard anything quite like that.
It's like if you need validation, there you go.
Exactly.
And that seems to be the biggest thing anybody's looking for when having those dreams is the validation.
Exactly. Well, and you want to know, like, when you lose someone, I think the biggest part of it is you want to know more than anything else they're at peace. Mm-hmm. And there's no way of knowing. You just have to have faith they're at peace. But getting that affirmation, that would be amazing.
Yeah,
that's cool. That was a cool story.
It was really cool to hear. Thank you for sharing that. We'd love to hear more from you if you got it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next letter says, hey, y'all, my name's Hannah. My paranormal experience started at an incredibly young age. Even though I may not have believed it at the time and tried to explain it away with every possible remedy, I know at 23 years old and as a practicing witch that it was a very real first experience. To preface, when I was 6 years old, my parents bought a piece of property in the lower upstate of South Carolina and built their dream home after much hard work. The land had not been disrupted in over 100 years, except for maintenance by the man who owned it prior. My parents are very adamant that the paranormal does not exist, so the history of the land they purchased and disrupted with grading for a house was not of concern to them. I felt like you should know this before I begin my story. So fast forward to about 6 months after moving in day. I just turned 7 years old. My brother had just turned one. My parents made a playroom, and we spent most of our time in that room laughing and giggling. We did not hate each other yet. That night, we said our prayers and went to bed. Around 1 a.m., I was jolted awake in what I now know was a mild case of sleep paralysis. I was scared, but as you know, I could not move a muscle or squeak a sound. I do not know how long I was in this state, but it broke off after the sound of a coyote howling at the edge of the woods. I sat straight up and looked around, and then it happened. A hanger fell in my closet, and an orb appeared from the crack in my closet door. I was afraid, but I was oddly calm. The orb disappeared, and it was like the hypnotic state I was in just broke, and I remember screaming for my dad. Both of my parents came bustling through the door, and I sloppily told them what had happened, obviously not using the correct terminology. I was only 7. My mom told me it was just a dream, but when I told her about the light, she told me it might have been a migraine. The next day, they took me to the doctor, and the doctor, of course, did not admit to the paranormal experience. She chalked it up to a migraine as well, even though I had no pain, no other signs of such diagnosis. That was the end of it for then. A couple of years later, when my brother was able to speak and form sentences and relay experiences, he had his first encounter. He came into my room one night, scared, and climbed into bed. He said, "Those girls are playing. Do you hear them laughing?" Of course, I could have peed all over myself, but I unfortunately downplayed his experience to just a dream. Another 5 years went by with small happenings to just me that no one believed, nor could I explain until I started my first job. Work started early, and I was the only one awake at 5 a.m. One morning around 4 a.m., I'm lying in bed, wide awake, and suddenly I felt a chill. Something made me look to my right, and I saw him like he was there. An African-American man dressed to the T in incredibly old clothing. He was just watching me. I was startled, but again, I was oddly calm. He smiled and walked around the perimeter of my bed, all while watching me, and just as soon as he came, he was gone. Now, at this point, I fully expected to need to wash my pajamas and my sheets, but I did not. I felt happy. I felt protected. I felt at peace with my space. I left for work. One of the ladies I worked for was a believer, and so I told her my story, and she encouraged me to look up the history of my property. Boy, was I flabbergasted. My town was pretty much owned by the Gray family in the early period of slavery. Turns out the Gray family lived in the property adjacent to ours, and ours was owned by his son-in-law, who, if memory serves, was named Chastain. The daughter of Mr. Gray was named Lindsay Hannah Gray, which is when I am sure my jaw hit the center of the earth. My birth name before marriage was Hannah Lindsay. I could have puked. Fast forward to several months of online articles and county records and historic documents later, I had a better understanding of my situation. The Grays had a house slave. I hate that term so much. Who was a little unorthodox for the time because it was an African-American man who watched over the small children, Lindsay and her sister. Records seem to show that once Lindsay was married, the man was given to her to watch and tend to the home and watch her future children, which he eventually did when she had 2 little girls of her own. Tragically, or not so tragically, because they owned slaves, so they had it coming, Lindsay and her husband and 2 daughters were killed in a house fire set by an unknown group of people. The land and buildings burned and took the lives of several slaves and overseers that lived on the property as well. After this discovery, I knew in my heart what was happening. For several weeks, I saw nothing. The house was quiet. I was playing outside with my dog and just so happened to look up and see that same man in my bonus room window watching as I played. I rushed inside. He was gone. When I got up to the window that night, I was asleep and was awoken by a chill again. He was back. I saw him several more times after that, and the last few times I'd speak to him, I told him I knew why he watched me, and I was sorry. Most times I would just smile and go back to sleep. Last time I saw him, he smiled. I never saw him again. I knew in my heart that my namesake was kind to him. Maybe she was the only one who was. He loved her and her children, enough to watch over me as I was somehow his living Lindsay. Maybe my age had something to do with his disappearance. Maybe he just knew I was safe. But I miss my guardian ghost. They called him William. For some reason, I feel his birth name was much more extravagant. Not everyone has a pleasant first paranormal experience, but I am glad I did. And I hope, wherever William is, he's happy and is much more than this cruel earth given him. Sometimes the paranormal is just looking for a sense of normalcy that they once had. Be kind to your local ghosts. Thoughts on that one?
that was an amazing story.
It was.
Like, as I'm listening to it, I'm like visualizing it and everything. And I was like, this should be a movie. Like, someone should take that and turn it into something. Because it's tragic. It has, you know, it's like, it's tragic, yet at the same time, rather than her being afraid, she wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, that was amazing. And maybe he is still there, but she doesn't need him, you know? Maybe he's just not showing himself to her.
That was kind of something I was thinking of, because a lot of people have those experiences where for a long period of time, they'll see it and then it seems to be gone. But then later in life, suddenly, oh, it's back. It's popping up. But did it ever really leave?
Yeah, you just don't see it.
Yeah. Or are they just more, you know, kind of waiting in the wings?
And, it, you know, it's just this. And the reason why I think it should be a movie is because it has all the emotion to it.
It does.
You know, and then because, man, everything that happened to him in his lifetime and what he saw in the tragedy, and then why, you know, can't he go on?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of story here that needs to be explored. I don't know if that person wrote a really great letter.
They did.
So, like, start the screenplay.
Who's going to play who?
I don't know. I haven't thought of that yet.
Will it be Lori Loughlin's triumphant return to Hallmark Channel? That
this is not Hallmark. No, it's bigger than Hallmark. No, I'm writing you a Hallmark movie.
Yeah, it's true.
But because I can just do that tomorrow.
Yeah.
I guess that's about how long it takes to write those. But, like, this, I could see this being a big movie, like with a big star in it, like a Denzel Washington would play that character.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I want really good actors. I want this guy to have respect, a really good actor.
That would be a good movie. Now I'm starting to kind of picture these people in some of those roles. And yeah, I think it could be good.
In all the stories we've discussed over the, I don't know how long I've been doing this. It was like a long time. But I've never really thought that needs to be a movie before.
No.
That story.
Well, many of the stories have been turned into, like, not necessarily movies, but, you know, segments on the insert your paranormal TV show here that have originated on our show, which is always interesting to hear because I get letters from folks going, hey, I'm flying out to this place right now. They heard the story and they wanted, you know, they got in contact or I put them in contact because the producer called us. But never a movie yet. But hey, you know, stranger things have happened.
I write comedies. I don't see this as a comedy.
You can make it a great rom-com. It can be the setting somehow for the revival of Sex in the City. And I don't know how that would be, but it would probably make about
doing that.
Exactly.
They're already bringing Sex in the City back.
I know. And
or some kind of it. I don't know how they're doing it.
Kim Cattrall's not in it, but the other three are. And I liked the show when it was on. I'm kind of looking, but the last movie sucked. It was so bizarrely written.
Bad. It was so bad.
It's like, how did you even release this piece of crap? It was like, these aren't even the character. It was like written by people who never knew the characters. It was insane. So hopefully it's back to some of the original writing team with whatever they do. But I thought it was a well-written show when it was on TV.
But I want that person to keep in touch when the screenplay is done.
Yeah.
Or I can certainly try to help write. I'd be good with that.
It'll somehow turn into a melodrama. And it'll be some sort of playoff of something else that'll be the title
exactly,
of it. I don't know what.
I love parodies.
Exactly. It'll be a parody of something, but the storyline is like completely original. It has nothing to do with what it's parodying. And it's
I do, at some point in my life, I do want to try to write something else because I love writing and I love thinking of stories and stuff.
Well, there you go. You got a plot right there. 855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hey, good afternoon. My name is Ivan. I'm from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And I just recently started listening to this podcast. Not really a podcast listener, but in any event, I'm Hispanic. And years ago when I was younger, my mom, God rest her soul, used to have, I guess you could say, psychic abilities. she could predict things. But in any case, she passed away several years ago. And since then, I've been noticing some weird things. But I really don't know what's going on. So, I have a family. I have a wife and two kids. And we've lived in, say, four different residences so far. And one was in Camden, New Jersey. And we used to hear footsteps upstairs when nobody was up there. Never thought too much of it. But stayed that way. We just asked ourselves, you know, did you hear that? That kind of thing. We all look at each other like, yes, we did. We moved into the next house. We had the same problem. My wife used to feel a presence on the steps following her. We found out later on that the lady who owned the house, her son had been shot, and he spent the rest of his days in that house, and he eventually passed away there. She said she used to feel like an evil presence, like if something was pressing down on her shoulders. So, again, you know, we left that house, moved into the next house, which was actually like maybe four doors down. And again, we felt the presence in the hallway. Upstairs, we would hear somebody walking around upstairs in the bedroom when we were downstairs, rather, and we would hear somebody coming down the steps, and she would always feel something. As a matter of fact, the last day that I was there, I was downstairs cleaning up, washing the dishes, getting ready to move out, when the window mysteriously blew out and flew all the way across the room and landed on the other side of the room. I went to the window. I went outside. It wasn't too windy, so I couldn't explain how the window blew that far. But I was like, okay, you know, the hair stood up on my arms, and I got the hell out of there. Well, a couple of days, the first day that we moved into the residence where we're at now, we moved in during the day, and then that night is when we physically moved in. We have, at that time, we had three cats. Two of the cats ran upstairs, and one cat, Stinky, we couldn't find him for a while. When we did find him, he was hiding in the basement. He did not want to come back upstairs. To this day, he's constantly looking at the steps. My wife claims to see a shadow figure walking. She's noticed it downstairs. She's noticed it upstairs. It's mainly in the hallway. The cats, when they come upstairs, they run through the hallway before they come into the room. And I've felt things, but I've never actually seen anything. But we're starting to feel as though it's something that follows us around. And that's basically, you know, my story. There are other things that have occurred with us. My daughter actually, at the previous house, ran out of the bathroom naked because she's seen a woman dressed in all black outside of the bathtub. She literally ran out of the bathroom. It took us about a month and a half maybe to get her to go back into the bathroom on her own. We're not paranormal investigators, but we've been to places like Gettysburg Battlefield. We've been to Fort Mifflin here in Philadelphia, which I believe we did bring something home from that place. I had something on video that I caught as I was running around with my cell phone. I didn't see anything physically, but several months later, I happened to look at the footage, and you can hear in the background, sounds like somebody's being whipped and somebody screaming. And then at the very end of the video, you hear someone say, "One way in, one way out." to this day, I don't remember anyone being in there with us. So I don't think that it was an actual person, but I have yet to figure that one out. We've been to Burlington County Prison, where my daughter took a picture, and we were in the gallows, where several people got hung there, and she picked up on her phone what looked to be someone in a hood, but we're not too sure. We showed it to a couple of people, and they thought that it was just, that it was nothing. So, like I said, I don't know. We're not paranormal investigators, but, you know, we are interested, and I do believe in the afterlife, so I don't know. But in any case, that said, I don't usually don't listen to podcasts, but I am into that kind of thing, and just wanted to know what you thought about that. Oh, and by the way, I am Hispanic, Puerto Rican to be exact, and again, my mom used to deal with what's called Santeria, but before it was all said and done, she was dealing with Brujeria, which is basically black magic. She didn't die to me, I thought she died a horrible death. She ended up having a stroke at the age of 51, passed away at 53, suffered in those couple of years that she was alive, and I believe that when you mess with things like that, you're messing with evil spirits. And that's my story. If you ever want to reach me, my number is...
And we'll cut that part out. That little tidbit at the very end there about mom being involved in that sort of stuff makes me then kind of...
Makes you wonder.
...recalculate the whole story of, like, how much of this kind of was... conjured, if you will, because of that sort of thing going on.
And we've talked before about, you know, I think that, you know, there's haunted houses, then there's just people who that shit does follow them around.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, so I'm thinking that as he's telling this story, I'm like, well, obviously he's one of those people.
Mm-hmm.
And then to find out his mother was into that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Makes you think. Something's connected.
It does. And it kind of puts a whole new layer to the whole thing. And the thing is, people that will be involved in some of the darker versions of those things, yeah, it follows them around, but they can also then leech into your family and other people who are close to you. It's insidious. It makes you wonder. Thank you.
How would you deal with that? Like, real quick, because did he say his mother had passed?
I believe so, yeah.
So yeah. If your mom's passed, and is it your mom that's digging all this crap up? Because we were talking the other night about, you know, somebody with the dad scaring, you know, scaring them and stuff. I'm like, man, time to have a talk with your dad. Might be time to have a talk with your mom saying, you know, you guys stop this shit. You know?
Or is it even...
Love me, protect me, be a mom right now.
Is it even her, though, or is it something that she had conjured up, and now that she's gone and hasn't put it back in the box, if you will, it still
that's
lingers?
That's she needs to come back and help you.
Yeah. If that's even an option.
I don't have the book for this.
Or someone needs to figure out how to do that if mom can't do that anymore from the other side.
Yeah, that's not right. That's not right.
It's not like when you can easily just kind of, you know, look up in the phone book or something and say,
and
hey.
You kept saying, we're not paranormal investigators. I'm like, you know, and you almost need someone who knows more about that.
I think you do. And someone who can connect in on a spiritual level, not just a, yep, you got ghosts. Because Wayne over here, he picked this up on the tape deck. Like, okay, that's great. But what do you need to get rid of it? I'm going to post it on YouTube. Okay.
Yeah.
Not helpful. But someone who can really connect and give you some direction and help, that's not interested in making it for their blog, that would be probably a good place to start looking. Thank you for sharing that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's do one more call.
Hi, my name is Jay, and my story is it happened in my house in Virginia. When I was in the Navy, I rented this house in Virginia Beach, and we started hearing footsteps from downstairs. You could hear them above us, And it definitely sounded like footsteps, and we kind of got used to it. And there was a time, at first it was just that, and then things kind of escalated. We had a candle that was thrown, and it was thrown so hard that the glass literally disintegrated. It was crazy. It almost hit my ex-wife and I. Another time is so Hurricane Sandy hit, and I guess that amplified it or something. And the footsteps were like going everywhere upstairs. And all of a sudden I got up, and I was just kind of interested to see what was going on up there. So I started walking around to the stairs, and this black cloud shot down the stairs, went straight towards me, and then turned and went straight into the kitchen and disappeared. I couldn't see it after that. And then, so I met this girl, and she had a kid. The kid was like 4. I was staying upstairs where all those footsteps were. He was crashing up there, and all of a sudden he's screaming one night. So we run up there, and we asked him, we were like, hey, what happened? And he said he saw this big black cloud in his room. And I never told him or my ex that I saw that black cloud. And it was just, it was pretty crazy that they saw it too. And so, I mean, even my neighbor would tell me that she could hear, if I leave the windows open, she could hear the cupboards like slamming and doors slamming while we're gone. Or while I was gone. This is pretty wild, but hopefully you can feature that. Have a good day. Love the show. Bye.
Fairly active house.
You think?
Yeah.
The candle was thrown so hard it disintegrated glass? What?
Huh?
Like, that would scare the crap out of me.
Yeah. And that kid just trying to process it and make sense of it. I mean, and for him saying, I never told him that, I get it. You know, you're being a parent. I might have told the, you know, his, you know, he should have maybe had that conversation with his ex, you know, at the time. That might have been helpful to her. But yeah, the kid, you know, you want to validate that they had an experience and hear them out. But at the same point, you don't want to freak them out even more.
Yeah, that's the thing. But I do think that you need to listen and talk it through and, you know, because if you ignore it, sometimes that just gets scarier.
Yeah, you don't want to ever dismiss it or anything like that. It's just kind of feeding into it. If you already know what's going on, I don't think you want to make it worse for the child. But know that they're heard, and not be like, your bad dream, go to sleep. And the kid knows damn well it wasn't a bad dream, you know?
Yeah.
That makes it even more difficult to deal with. Thank you for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. And that's going to wrap up today's episode of the show. Wrong button. Let's try this one. If you like the show, help us stay on the air. Become an extra podcast person and EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. It's only $5 a month. Get access to all the advanced episodes, all the bonus episodes, the archive of episodes. It's all commercial free. Ebook, audio book. You get all of it. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.